Shalom Aleichem, welcome on behalf of Teach 613. We welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Yuma Chaf Aleph, Yuma 21a, pagination page 41. Our Gemara will discuss the 10 miracles that happened in the Beis HaMikdash that were recognized by the people who came to visit the Beis HaMikdash. In the words of the Gemara, starting from the 6th line, at the end of the line, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Rav Yehuda said the name of Rav B'Shosh Sheyisal Olim L'Rega, when the Jewish people would go up for the holiday. Omdim Tzifufim, they would stand in a way where they were very crushed, it was very crowded. Rashi says the word Tzifufin comes from the word Tzaf, to float. If you would put a nut on top of water, so if it's floating, it's called tzaf. It's floating. So people, when they're very crowded, the description is that they're kind of floating. They don't actually get 2 feet on the ground. Very crowded is the description. U'mishtachavim revochim. But when they bow, there's a lot of space. They're able to bow. And during Yom Kippur, they had to bow at certain points, and they were able to. The word regel apparently does not refer specifically to the Shalosh Regolim, but generally when the Jews were in the Beis HaMikdash, it was crowded. V'nimshachim achas esrei amo achore Beis HaKapores, and the Jews even needed the space that was behind the Kodesh Kadoshim. They needed that area, those 11 amos, but nevertheless, when they bowed, there was enough room. Let's drop down to the Gemara that quotes a Mishnah from Avos, Perek Hei, Mishnah Hei, and elaborates on 10 things that were miraculous in the Beis HaMikdash. And we have to be careful exactly how we word the category that the Mishnah is focusing on, because the Gemara is going to debate a bit what is fitting to be put into this Mishnah. The most obvious consideration is that this Mishnah is going to start off by saying 10 things that happened in the Beis HaMikdash, and the last two of the Mishnah are actually things that pertain to Yerushalayim generally. So exactly what was the category of these 10 miraculous items that warranted them being listed together in this Mishnah? In any case, let's see the count of the Mishnah. Ditnan, we learned in a Mishnah. Asara nisim nasu b'beis HaMikdash. There were 10 things miraculous that happened in the Beis HaMikdash. There actually were more, but these are the things that the Mishnah categorizes together because they were visible. At least one approach is that only things that were visible to the people visiting are going to be listed here. Number one, Lo Epilo Isha Merech Besar HaKodesh, a woman did not have a miscarriage as a result of the enormity of meat that was available there. Velo Isriach Besar HaKodesh Me'olam, number two, that the meat of Kodesh did not spoil, even if it was sitting around for a bit, because it was very busy time. Falonira Zavuv Beves Hamit Bachayim is number three, that there was never a fly in the butchering area. Falo'era Kerili Kohen Gadol B'Yom HaKippurim is four, the Kohen Gadol never had any mission on Yom Kippur. So you'll ask, so then why was it necessary to do all the precautions as that we mentioned previously, including not letting him sleep that night, and always making sure and appointing a different Kohen just in case we would need it? So the simple answer is that you're not allowed to rely on a Nes. The Tosfos Yomtiv in Avos mentions that certainly the bedrock is you can't rely on a Nes, but why was it such a big concern over here? So he says a fundamental principle that when a certain power in creation looks like it's going to be vanquished, it puts forth its strongest rally. And that's why the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur, who would be vanquishing the Yetzer Hara, he would totally ascend to spiritual heights that were normally unattainable. That's when the Yetzer Hara tries to put forth his strongest fight. And that's why they had to be very careful with the Kohen Gadol. They treasured him. They were very careful with him because he was on the mission to go to the Kodesh Kadoshim. It is mentioned that the Kohen Gadol, in a specific story, did become Tamei, and that, apparently, was with a different Tumah, but not a Tumas Keri, an admission that comes from the person himself. The Mishnah continues, number 5, V'lo nimtza psul ba'omer uvishtei halechem uvalechem haponim, and they did not find a problem in the Omer, that's the one that's brought on Pesach, Shtei Alechem brought on Shavuos, Uvalechem Aponim, all of these aren't able to be redone. It's already Yomtif, and they can't redo it. If it's late, it's Shabbos already, you can't rebake the Lechem Aponim. If something went wrong, they would be in trouble. And Baruch Hashem, that was the Nes, that it never happened that they had a problem. The discussion over here, of course, is whether this is supposed to be counted as three different ones, or they're all psul, all considered number 5. It was just three applications of it. The Mishnah continues, Omdim tzifufim u'mishtachavim revachim, which is the item that got us onto this topic to begin with. According to the count of the Gemara in its final analysis, this is number 6. That they were crowded when they stood, but when they bowed, miraculously there was enough room for each of them. And a snake or scorpion never did damage in Yerushalayim, and this the Gemara objects to, because it's a Yerushalayim thing, it's not limited to the Beis HaMikdash. And a person never said that Yerushalayim is too crowded. I have to sleep here. It's too crowded. People never said that. There was always enough room. And the Gemara objects to this one as well, because it's a Yerushalayim thing. It's not a Beis HaMikdash thing. The Mishnah in Avos does in fact bring these last two. And the fact that it was also in Yerushalayim, but it was when they went to the Beis HaMikdash, this is what they experienced. The Mishnah in Avos doesn't seem to have a problem with it. Our Gemara objects to it and introduces two other things, which interestingly enough are brought in the Mishnah in Avos. If you count from the wide lines, count up. Tanya, we learnt, Me'olam lo kibu gishamim eishal atzei hama'aracha. The rain never extinguished the fire on the Mizbeach. Va'ashan hama'aracha, and the smoke as it went up, afilu kol arucha sheba'olam ba'oso menashvas bo, even with lots of wind, ein mezizo sosa mimkomo, it did not move it from its place. The smoke went up in a smooth, dignified way, despite the wind. And these two, again, they're mentioned in the Mishnah in Avos. The Gemara says, V'su leka, are there no others? And our Gemara introduces two other miracles to keep track of. One on the third line of the Gemara, in the wide. Third line of the wide, Nivla'in b'mekoman, that there were certain things that had to be disposed of in the Beis HaMikdash, and they were swallowed up in place, that it never became a mound, it just got swallowed. The Gemara is referring to certain types of Kli Cheres that had to be broken on site. You can't take them away, they have to be broken on site. And the other thing was Mora'a V'notza, certain parts of the Karbanos that had to be disposed of on site, so they were put into what theoretically would become a big pile, but actually it was simply swallowed up. And finally, on the fifth line of the wide lines, Amar Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi introduced what, according to our Gemara, is the tenth in the numbers here of the miracles of the Beis HaMikdash, Nes Gadol Hayanasa B'Lechem HaPanim, a great miracle by the Lechem HaPanim, Siluko Kisiduro, that the Lechem HaPanim were just as fresh when they were taken off as when they were put on. Again, the way to calculate the exact number of 10 is a discussion, but the fact that all these were miracles, and the Gemara actually adds on additional ones, that's not debatable. There were actually many miracles in the Beis HaMikdash. The question is which ones were meant to be counted for purposes of this Mishnah. Yeshe Koach, thank you for joining.